number six is from the interim director of the Department of Health and Human Services requesting authorization to undertake position and other actions to reduce critical and persistent vacancies and increase the retention rate of key psychiatry and psychology positions at Behavioral Health. This went to the Committee on Behavioral Health, and it will also go to personnel. I'm sorry, on Health and Human Needs. Health and Human Needs approved at 7-0.
President, ma'am,
I would like to move approval. Concur with Health and Human Needs.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo moves to concur with the Committee on Health and Human Needs. Supervisor DeBrum, followed by Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you've made a good case in your report showing the discrepancy between your main competitor for staff and competitors for staff, a lot of which have our highest compensation range is lower than their lowest in a lot of these positions. And so that has been a long-term concern of mine, as well as many people, yourselves included. The question I have, though, is the fiscal note, assumes that all these ranges go into place, and are they assuming then that all the individuals potentially affected all do bump up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. My only concern with that is the whole issue of merit pay, and how does that, none of this is merit based, correct? This is just a straight across the board, everybody gets their salary raised.
Correct. There are, if you will note, there are some differences though in recognition for those who receive certification.
Right.
And then, they would receive that additional compensation in that area. So in that sense, there is a differential. I don't know if here at the table with me is Dr. Riggle, who is the chief psychologist at Behavioral Health Division, and Dr. Harding, who is the acting medical director. Did either of you want to comment on the piece in terms of the merit
sure.
raise? Other.
We both can. Our departments are a little
okay.
different than each other, so
all right.
we can probably speak to our own. I would just say for the psychology department that currently, all that because 70% are eligible to retire, and because I've needed to be competitive, everyone in my department is currently at the top of their range, and they wouldn't have gotten there if there were performance issues. So it would be, by default, the same move for all of them, but the fact that they're where they are now reflects that they're performing well. So I can say that to the psychology department. Our department does not have a separate pay scale for some of the certifications that
psychiatry does.
Dr. Herbie, speak to that.
We've had continuous problems with recruitment and retention in particular. I have a number of staff who are eligible for retirement as well. At one point, the inpatient service was being operated with about 50% of the allocated positions filled. My psychiatrists were at one point seeing 1 to 24 ratios and still are on 2 units. The VA, it's 1 to 8. I lost 2 psychiatrists abruptly to the VA last fall. The stress was just too high, and they left, and they received, to my understanding, a $20,000 sign-on bonus and a higher rate of pay. I need to avoid this from reoccurring. I've been able to backfill those positions after about 9 months of recruitment with 2 new residents who have joined us. In the meantime, I've been covering services, which is certainly within my scope of duties, but I fear that we're going to lose even more, and again, another loss of psychiatrists would be very, very hard to recover from. I realize this is a very difficult ask. We do understand the circumstances of the county right now, but it has gotten to a point where we will have to be closing units or running a lessened psychiatric crisis service. I just can't ask my doctors to extend themselves any further. Most of my positions are already at the top step. Mm-hmm. This would allow another step and steps beyond, which would be determined based upon merit. There's also a bonus here for board certification,
right.
which is something that we obviously want all of our psychiatrists to be.
And one of my goals, my desire, is to retain I've got 6 young, newer staff, and they're all involved in the initiatives that we feel are very important right now. Got Dr. Coleman hired to work in the mobile team to go out and do the EDs at the hospitals, decrease our wait time at PCS. That's been very successful. With Dr. Keel working on the developmental disabilities hilltop downsizing initiative, as well as working in the ops unit, which is decreasing the inpatient usage. I just hired Dr. Kazmierik, who I acquired from the closure of Ethan Allen. And even though they had a different specialty and required some retraining, she has a lot of specialization in sexual assault. Dr. Bros, also trauma-informed care. Dr. Jamalski came on, and he's got expertise in co-occurring disorders. So this is a really good investment. And I've got Dr. Martins also would be a great candidate for the women's option unit we're looking at. So we really want to be able to remain competitive and keep the two we have. This turnover, I said yesterday, I think people know what it's like to count on a doctor to develop a relationship, trust. It's bad for patient care for them to not know who their doctor is. You know, it's the number of times I've had a client say, you know, I heard my doctor's leaving. I'm not going to go to therapy anymore because I can't tell my story again. We completely understand how important that relationship is, and we want a consistent, reliable department. Yesterday I mentioned all the benefits that used to be in place that were, you know, enticing for candidates. Those are gone. We don't have those enhancements. The VA, unfortunately, because of the world situation, the wars, is adding. They've got twice the number of psychologists now than I have. Several of my psychologists have gone to work there, and they're 5 miles away. Just have a lot of competition for these positions, and I need to be able to get closer than we are. I can't even get close for some of these candidates. So,
Mr. Chair?
So the floor is open.
Absolutely. I don't believe, has there been a motion made to approve?
Concur.
Okay. I do support having our base pay competitive. I absolutely support that. I will support this. And I know that Health and Human Needs, I think, was unanimous in their support. But for between now and budget, I think there needs to be a strong push by Milwaukee County, and might as well start with BHD because we're dealing with patient care, toward moving to a stronger merit-based approach, because it's hard to justify in a poor economy with lots of layoffs and a $55 million deficit, a $500,000 increase just in base salaries. And so for me to talk to my constituents about this, I have to be able to say to them, we are going to reward the docs and the psychologists and the nurses who do it right, and not just good or minimally acceptable level of care, but excellence in care. And our merit system, in part because we have the whole union piece, but it's also with our non-reps, is really a weak part of our system. I think that if we don't go more toward, put more emphasis on that, we're going to have a problem. So for 2012 budget, mm-hmm. I really would like to be able to tell my constituents that there is much more of a merit-based compensation plan at BHD. We just got, I think, thanks to Ms. Lucy, an example in our emails of a client who was delighted with their care. A little bit earlier, we got examples of a client who was not delighted with the care. The bottom line is, not everybody is excellent. We want them all to at least be good. mm-hmm. But there, it bothers me that I'm not hearing of disciplinary actions when people should be disciplined. I'm not hearing about the negative side of it getting resolved. And I think a merit-based system going to that more strongly might be a more positive, mm-hmm. proactive way to improve the health care. So I will happily meet with you on this, and I will support this today, but mm-hmm. particularly for the budget, we really have got to be able to assure the public that the people we are retaining are the people that really should be there and that we're proud of to be there, and then the few and far between that aren't are mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, not getting the same raise as, I mean, there's some of that staff who are phenomenal, and to not have that recognized is government at its worst. It's pretty typical.
And Dr. Hardin, I would love the ability to hire well from the start. Indeed. This goes a long way toward hiring well. We don't ever endeavor to hire anyone other than the best candidate, and that's why it hurts so much when we lose them. They're out there if we need.
Before you say that, the final piece of this, I don't want anyone to confuse voting for this item versus the issue of merit pay. Because in my opinion, if you vote against this item, you're making the whole situation even worse. You're not even getting to the level of talking about merit pay. Mm-hmm. This is base level being able to attract good people and people who will stay. So I get that, but we have got to get to maybe reallocating some of the resources we do spend in a more innovative way to get to more merit pay. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Doctor.
I completely agree. We have developed, in part of our Joint Commission preparation efforts, mm-hmm. two new assessment tools for physicians and psychologists, focused professional practice evaluations and the ongoing professional practice evaluations, which really get at competencies. And I think we're much more honing in those things that really will sort out who really is rising above the standard, who is meeting the standard, who is falling below. So I think that has been one effort towards that initiative, and I fully concur with you. We really need a unique crew at VHD, as we serve a very unique population. I want people whose hearts and competencies are there to really meet the needs of the people we serve.
And I certainly concur with that as well, and we can definitely come back with some recommendations by the time of the 2012 budget to address exactly those concerns you have, Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Dr. Harding and Dr. Riggle that you have come forward at least to give us information. If we don't know, then there's nothing that's going to be done to act upon whatever the problem is. And we want to make sure that those who are hired are competitive with respect to the salaries, because otherwise there will just be continual raids. People will get frustrated over the fact that they don't have as much as the people they tend to socialize with or tend to mm-hmm. to do things in concert with, and feel very discouraged, and in effect, there's another burden put on them with respect to the stress that they have while doing their job. So my question is, to what extent are the psychiatrists and the psychologists stressed? Has the stress gone up pronouncedly within the last 2 or 3 years? Is it something that's happened over a 5-year period? I like to know, because I've been here since 2000, and I think that it's important for us to get the information so that we can be proactive and not look toward filling holes or closing deficits.
Ourselves? Pardon me?
Do we need treatment ourselves sometimes?
Well, that could be. I just like to get a sense.
On this side of that thing, too.
I just like to get a sense with respect to the stress, because in the 23 years plus that I've been a county employee, there are some people that complain here and there, but mostly county employees are there to do the job. Sometimes they don't get the overtime that they should, but they're dedicated to their clients, their patients, and to those they serve. So.
Very good question, Supervisor Johnson, and thank you for asking. Yes, the stress level is high, and we know we're in the public eye, as we should be, and we must practice to a level, a standard, with a population that has a unique set of needs. This is a core group of patients that many facilities have declared themselves incompetent to treat, so I really need a specialized team of psychiatrists. I was so happy I finally got a bilingual psychiatrist in my inpatient medical director's role, and she has just left to go back to the state of Illinois, because the starting salary there as a line psychiatrist is approximately $23,000 more than I'm paying her as a director.
But
so
the main reason, just to not paint her as someone who's motivated by money, we hire people to work a certain service area, and then we have a vacancy, and then we say, can you also work on this
unit? You also cover that unit.
That kind of worked, man, despite some perception that doctors want to work this overtime. So I'm going to have to, we feel bad. These people have families. They want to see their kids. We have to ask them, please stay and do this. They do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
But that's not a good work environment, and it is not one that makes people even able to choose to stay. Sometimes some of my colleagues who left for the VA, you know, I've asked them to come back. But they actually miss working with our population. That's kind of where their heart was. Mm-hmm. But the stress, even though it's stressful there, it does not compare. And so I have that,
And the problem is it's kind of a rolling phenomenon. As one person leaves, it creates additional burden for the others that remain behind, who then get the added stress.
We want to get on top of it, create a good, solid place so that when people join it, they feel this is good, solid, reliable, and not, we don't want a feeling of chaos for ourselves, for our clients. The clients always feel it. If we're feeling it, the first thing we say is, we got to know. If we're feeling it, they're going to feel it. They need consistency. Their backgrounds often have been so chaotic that what they really need is someone to count on it. When we have a doctor and they leave, usually it's a loss for us, for our consumers, to build that trust, and they often have a history of abandonment. There's abandonment issues, and it's just not a good clinical idea to have turnover or inconsistency. You want to know, you know, which doctor am I going to have? And I understand that question. I ask it too. The other advantage of having people who stay is that we work with people with severe and persistent mental illness. So I have clients who will still call me, even though I'm largely administrative now. I had 20 years ago, you know, and I apologize right now publicly. I haven't called her back yet, but I will have to speak.
That's stress.
We know these people, yes. And we develop relationships, and that goes a long way toward good clinical care. When they come in, we don't have to look at our, we're not, oh, I know so-and-so, you know, try the hands, what you need. And I don't blame them for not wanting to start over with a new doctor all the time. And access to care in that long way. When people have a crisis, they cannot wait 2 weeks to get in, or even sometimes hours feels like an eternity if people are in the midst of a crisis. So
I'm for the initiative. This is not a country club environment. I'm for the initiative, and again, I'm glad that you've come forward.
Thank you very much, Supervisor Smith.
Well, I mean, I looked at the budget. I also have a couple of comments. I do have a specific question, but I visited BHD and met. You know, we spent. Facilities thing, we're looking at all these situations and changing. It's incredible, in my opinion, what we do out there a little bit. I know I didn't want to go out there for years because it's not a happy place to visit. It's difficult walking through all the pods. It's been through all the pods, spent several hours going, seeing how people are working, the dedication of staff, et cetera, et cetera. And let me talk about stress a little bit. It's been stressful for all of us. I think I've had some stress. I've been asking the last couple of years all sorts of people who do great work for the county to take less, cut benefits. We're doing that today. We're looking about pension multipliers. We're looking about more insurance payments. We've done it to non-reps. We've done it ourselves. There's very little raises going on. It's just the political reality. We're not getting a raise or ever get a raise. A lot of people, I think, stay in county government. I think a lot of people stay in county government because they feel it's a avocation and a vocation. I look at Stein and think that, too. I look at a lot of people and say that. And I saw Scott Maskey left talking about a guy who's under stress with a controller trying to figure all these things out. So I acknowledge all that. It's amazing work you do. I have great respect for it. You do have a vulnerable population. There's no question about that. We do marvelous things. It's amazing we have, you know, we have the great media, you know, when something happens, you know, anywhere, it means the bad news sells. So you're going to get that. We don't hear, what I like to hear is Miss Lucy sends us something. We hear about a situation. We get stuff from Miss Lucy. I like hearing about the things, how what's going on. I like hearing about the positive things because the positive always outweighs the negative, I think, in all our situations, but that doesn't get the news. It's the way it is. It's the reality. That's what we have to live. So, and we come to the budgets. The nurses deserve raises. They're taking cuts. They're saints out there, I think, too. So now we've got a specific group. And look it, you make a great case. I have nothing negative to say about anything you've said. The case has been made. You did a good job. In reality, you know, we're in competition. I see VA. I understand all that. Okay? It's just that when we come to budget and we have a separate category, everybody else is holding their own or getting cuts, and this is what makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to me because I'm dealing with all these other thousands of people that I'm asking to take cuts and do other things. You make a good case. So That's what I have to live with and deal with. Not an easy thing. And I understand, you know, the work and what needs to be done, and you have to hire people. But it's all across the continent. So I'm giving a plus and take back to your workers at BHD, the people who, you know, are feeding the people or clean up the messes of the people, and say, you know, thank you for the work they do. And I mean that sincerely. I try to tell groups that once in a while, because we're all in this together, and we do it because it needs to be done. Somebody better do it and care about it. I do. I think a lot of people do. And that's what makes it difficult when you have to do these financial things. But I am on the finance committee, and I have to deal with that reality. So my question is, finally, then, but saying all that, so it's $153,000 in 2011, $468,000 in 2012, it's $621,000, okay? You do say in your, and it always gets back, and it comes up in budget, and I ask Ms. Lydia this all the time, so I'll put her on the spot again, is that most of this money, or this money as we're talking about, is coming, you know, from voluminous material we have to read and all this. I picked out something here, so you take out of context, so you got to be careful, but I wrote this down. So that roughly the $621,000, that's the added cost we'll have as we go on. I understand that. Of course, we got a zero, so there's no added costs ever. But they're coming from small reductions in contracts and some deferred revenue. So I know you do the budget, so, you know, you want to help me feel better and say that this isn't just added tax, this is an added cost. We have to do that. There's some way to have small reductions in contracts. There's some way to defer revenue. So there's some way to help in these monies that we're talking about that we're asked to give today. And I guess that would go for the budget that's to come then, too. Mm-hmm. I know we talk about marketing, and I will stop, but I'm concerned about all these things. Uh-huh. We have to vote on all these things, and we want to be fair to everybody. And, you know, so I know it. You know where I'm coming from, but specifically
Alex,
then. Thank
Alex
you.
Alex will respond to that.
Okay.
Yes.
But I would like to say on behalf of the psychology department that we have been very good financial stewards, and we haven't asked for reviews since the early 90s. At that time, it wasn't approved. That's why it's such a large amount. We've fallen way behind. And
I understand.
Never, so it's really bad timing, and my department completely understands.
When's
that.
It good timing?
That's right.
Is, but that's one reason it looks so huge is we have waited very long. Well, our department, Dr. Harding's department, is largely not represented. So, you know, we have not gotten those raises. And I don't want to compare to all the county employees.
I might just also add, these positions are billable positions. They will generate revenue. The hope is that we'll be able to see patients at a more frequent interval and generate additional billings, mm-hmm. which will help.
Absolutely.
100%.
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Alex Cooks. I'm the VHHS budget manager. Supervisors, the fiscal note is in relation to 2011 because the way the fiscal note is written in 2011, there are some contracts we've identified in BHD with some underspending, which we'll use towards this. And in addition, in DHHS, there is some what we're calling deferred revenue. It's basically 2010 revenue that came in late in 2011. That's back towards 2010, but we'll use it in 2011 because it came in beyond the date that you can book it back to 2010. So that's for the $153,000. In terms of the $400,000 in 2012, we are working with DAS. We met yesterday. We have some ideas of how to pay for that in the existing budget of some other things in the budget that we'll either take out or adjust to pay for that in an ongoing fashion in the 2012 budget. I have another meeting with them today regarding that.
Okay. I think we've had a healthy discussion on this. Supervisor Broom,
if you
could keep it brief, please.
I will keep it brief. My concern is that in addition to being able to reward excellence in a merit pay system, your department also needs an ability to release or fire individuals who are not competent, who don't man. And it was very disconcerting to hear what happened where your department tried to release an individual who is responsible for a patient escaping twice and the PRB overturns it. So as part of what I'm concerned about in the fall is that we also need to know from managers like yourself within DHHS as well, how to, and other areas as well, is how do we strengthen management's ability to let go of individuals who don't meet the minimum
Absolutely.
Standards, and to hear that you rarely fire someone out at BHD, and when you do, my gut reaction would be to be supportive, and I'm very concerned that that happened, and would like to make sure you have the tools in any way we can assist you to be able to, the few bad seeds that we have, you have to be able to get rid of them, and if performance reviews don't bring them up to speed, et cetera. So I failed to mention that before, and that's as important to me as the merit system and in anything else that's coming this fall. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion by Supervisor Mayo to concur with Health and Human Needs. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion, Supervisor Bruin?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Bruin?
Aye.
Rigo?
Aye.
Rigo?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to approve, to concur, 6-0.
Madam Minister, please.
Thank you.